speaking to someone and saying the problems out loud help. It kind of gives you already a different feeling, even without you saying anything.
We can all experience stress. The good news is that we, as long as we acknowledge it, we can learn to deal with it better. This is the thing about the stigma of mental health. It's often in the person themselves.
Having conversations like these, you know that you're going to be there and be ready to listen, which is everything that a player can ask for.
Hello and welcome to a special Liverpool FC podcast. You'll have just heard some snippets of a conversation between Diogo Jota and LFC's performance psychologist, Lee Richardson. It was recorded for World Mental Health Day 2024. Now, through the club's Red Together campaign, Lee and Diogo discussed the importance of managing stress day to day and had a number of shared experiences dealing with their own mental health and well-being. We really hope you'll find the podcast insightful and helpful, and it's important to say that if you're affected by any of the issues raised, there are a number of options you can turn to for help. Visit mentalhealth.org.uk for a full list of services available. That's mentalhealth.org.uk.
Most professional players have a natural resource or natural resilience because they're fit, young, healthy, doing what they love doing, getting paid quite well to do it as well. But obviously there are challenges for every football player around competition mainly. One of the things we do to keep a check on the mental health of players, as you know, is a questionnaire every couple of weeks to check on four things around their kind of relationships and how they're coping with the pressures. The purpose of it is really for them to check in with themselves a little bit, but also that they know that there is support in the environment, whether it's myself or other people who can talk to them, who can work things out with them. So that's the main thing when it comes to mental health with the players directly. But as I say, the challenges really come for players when they're not playing and when they're injured, particularly long-term injuries, you know what that's about. Or when they're not in the team, when they're being left out of the team, you know what that's about as well. And you can speak to that. But that's I think in my experience, that's the main challenges for players come around performance and competition. But obviously then there's other things like life events. They're all human beings, they all have families, they all have issues that go on in the background that people aren't aware of, and they have to deal with that as well. So in and amongst that, that's why we just keep a light touch check on them to make sure that things are okay.
Yeah, I think obviously it's part of our life that there is not a moment where you think, oh, let me think about my mental health. And that's where I feel it's important for us to have that questionnaire. We get every couple of weeks when we read the questions and hold on a minute, how is this? So we actually have a moment to think about it, and it's provided by Liverpool and Lee mainly. And it's important because it makes us obviously think about things and think if everything is going well, if anything happened that it might be disturbing us. And sometimes we are able to deal with that by ourselves, and sometimes we need to speak with someone. And obviously, we have you and the team to help us with that.
I suppose the psychology role in sport is one that, certainly in football, is not necessarily being well established. Certainly in England, more so in the last 10 years. Ironically, because of academy football and the recognition that there's perhaps a need for somebody in the environment who has a bit of an understanding of psychology. There's two main focuses. One is, how do we improve? That's players, groups of people, staff, but mainly players, obviously. How also can we deal with problems and challenges if they emerge? So it's kind of dual focus. We've sort of touched on potential problems and challenges that can occur. But there are sometimes things, I think players, as an ex-player myself, I know that we don't always have the best perspective on our own performance sometimes. So sometimes it's... I think we have to remember that there are ways that we can improve that don't necessarily just involve the regular training that we do on the pitch. There's some things we can do off the pitch sometimes that can help us. So that's obviously an area of focus for me. Players go through dips in form, and sometimes, even if it's coming back from an injury, there's sometimes some anxieties with that. So there are things around performance that a psychologist, sports psychologist, can help with. I think it's really important to remember that being a psychologist is a do-with process. It's not a do-to. I think a lot of people have the stigma around psychology and mental health, perhaps, is that people think that psychologists do something to you, and they don't. We don't. We do things with you. It's a collaboration of how you can improve, and whether it's performance or in mental health. That's a key thing to get across. I think that it's a shared process. The person themselves does the improvements, if you like.
Yeah, obviously there's a lot of factors, and Lee said some of them, like, are you playing or not? How is your health or your life apart from football? How is your life going? There's small things that can obviously affect your performance, and that's where you want to be. You want to be the best player all the time. You obviously know that's not possible, and you mentioned the dips of form, and I think when you feel something is not great, you try to correct. Obviously, sometimes speaking to someone and saying the problems out loud help sorting out majority of problems, because one thing that I feel as well important, and it happens with me, I have it here, but then when I say it out loud, it kind of gives you already a different feeling, even without you saying anything. Yeah. And so I think that's one of the good reasons why you should speak to someone, just because even without even the other person saying something, sometimes it helps you clear the thoughts.
As much as I said about the lads having a lot of protective factors, what we call protective factors in, you know, fitness and doing the thing they love, I think what we've seen in the last 10 years is that people have started to realise, it's not so much a secret, but something that people didn't want to talk about in the past, is that we all potentially face challenges to mental health over a lifetime for different reasons. And, you know, for example, the mind, the brain, the mind is, you know, somewhere based in here. We know that, but it's also a part of our body. Our body is connected to our mind. And a lot of things that become psychological are also physical. We have a nervous system that's exposed to the environment and the things that are around us. So it's really, I think, important to just accept that and acknowledge that it's not something abnormal or strange, you know. Things like stress. Stress occurs to everybody and happens to everyone. You know, like I was saying, the competition demands for players are the stresses around performance and playing well and then in a contract and not being injured. I think it's really good now, and it's great that someone like Diogo is prepared to, and there are many people now, I think many sports stars have done a great service to people by owning up to the fact that they find, or they have had challenges in the past, not so much yourself, but certainly some of the, you know, Olympians, and I think Tyson Fury has been great in certain senses. And there's a range of, that's the thing, the range of mental health, from what we'd call everyday, just like our physical health, how, you know, how we are on a daily basis, and people who have really significant issues to deal with.
I think individual sports has a lot more effect, because as a team sport, you can sometimes hide or benefit from what the team is doing or not. Yeah. And in those individual sports like boxing, Olympians, they are by themselves, so when they are not good, you can clearly see something is wrong, and it's more easy to see.
It's a really good point that if you're isolated on your own, then probably the pressure feels like it's all on you. I know tennis players would be a good example, boxers maybe, but I think again it's a realization. I think it's a grown-up attitude to recognize that sometimes, you know, life brings with it lots of surprises, lots of things go on in people's lives, and just the bad news then is that you know, we can all experience stress. The good news is that we, as long as we acknowledge it, we can learn to deal with it better, and that's, I think, one of the key things to think about. Hence why we do the questionnaire to try and keep the potential for reflection, like Diogo mentioned, is there for the players to do themselves.
Even if you are playing, like the starting of the season for me, I'm playing, but when I go home, I still have a family. I have two kids, three almost.
And the dogs.
And the dogs. And the stress, it doesn't stop. You know, you want to be the best father you can be. Try to lead by example. Give him the good feedbacks. Even though sometimes you want to get a bit of more rest in the afternoon, and they are all happy because you're finally at home and they want to play. I had this yesterday after the game, not the day after the game. I wanted to get a bit of rest. He wanted to play some football, and you need to be on it. And I think this time to reflect is also very important. We started the year with these questionnaires, and just have a moment for yourself, think how your life is going, or what's happening. So a moment to reflect, I think it's really important. And if everybody can implement that in a part of their day, either if it's in the beginning or more towards the end before you go to bed again, just to realize everything that's going on, because I think having a moment for yourself, it's really important. And sometimes with the stress that you have in your life, you kind of forget it. Obviously, everyone has things going on their lives, whether it's business or family or whatever. I still feel like when I enter the pitch, everything clears. It doesn't come across my mind. Fortunately for me, I'm not sure if that's the case for all the other players, or even if you have, like, I don't know, and a very important tournament coming, like the Euros or the World Cup, and you feel the anxiety to perform. So I feel every time I'm on the pitch, I'm clear in my mind, and I feel like I'm just doing what I know to do best. So there's no more implications to that. And I believe having that clear thoughts about it's just a game, 11v11, and believe in yourself. So I think that's important, but I'm not sure if that happens with everybody, of course.
To your point about sometimes your football being an escape almost and a distraction from things, that happens a lot. And I think, again, going back to the idea that footballers do have a lot of protective factors for them in terms of their careers and the enjoyment of playing football, which is really important. But I think when it comes to stress, I think we can all get to a level of overwhelm. And often one of the triggers for that is for young players and young men is family life as well, the pressures of parenthood that you just mentioned, and lots of things that can come. I always use an analogy of a water line. Like if you're in a pool of stress, you can deal with it most of the time, but when every now and again when things just kind of pile up and it becomes to the point where it feels like you can't breathe, that's a feeling that I've had personally, and I know it's not a nice feeling, and I know that people who have experienced that might think that a lot worse things are happening to them. And that's why it's really important to talk about it, because actually it does happen to everybody. There are ways you can deal with it. Very simple things like breathing exercises and those kind of things can really massively help. So I think I've gone off a tangent there, but that's I think it's important that your point is a good one.
I like analogies, and I like that one. And focus on one problem at a time, because sometimes it's not that problem, it's that one plus this one plus, and which gives you that feeling that you cannot breathe. But if you focus at one thing at a time instead of the bigger picture,
that's a good point.
You guys start to eliminate this one and reduce that level of water. So that's a good analogy.
Could be a good psychologist, this guy. So this is my 40th season in football. So I started at 16 in 1985. You were just a twinkle, not even a twinkle in the sky. The twinkle
85,
wasn't even
85. Yeah?
85, yeah, I think. Or
I was
86.
Born 11 years after.
And I think, like society then, mental health was I wouldn't say it was taboo subject, but certainly people didn't really want to talk about it. I think they wanted to kind of ignore that these kind of things, problems existed.
Keep them to themselves, no?
Yeah, absolutely.
Afraid of speaking.
Exactly. That's a good point. That's it. The stigma, this is the thing about the stigma of mental health. It's often in the person themselves, not in other people, if that makes sense. So, people don't often share their problems because they have an outdated belief that they think is something really bad about it. It's not that other people would think that way. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, obviously, there are different types of stigma, but I suppose going back to a long time ago now, as my kids would say, in the black and white days where the TV was still black and white, there was no real talk about it. What we did as footballers was the coping strategies that we used were kind of the things that now would just be seen as unprofessional, but in those days it was the culture. So as players, we would have a drink on the Saturday night, sometimes on the Sunday afternoon, and even on the Tuesday in the middle of the week. That was a common practice for professional footballers for the first 10 years of my career. So that was an unhealthy coping strategy. Going back to stress management and how you live your life, that's a key thing where I think the modern day professional footballer is, in general, a really good example to people of how, again, going back to the physical body and the mind, how what we do with the physical body also has an impact on the mind. So that's how we got through our challenges as players in the past. It was a lot of us were, you know, staying in the nightclubs too late and things like that. But attitudes have changed dramatically, both in terms of professionalism in football, but also in terms of mental health in society and now even in sport and in football. I think it's people have now recognised some of the things we've been talking about are important. So big changes over four decades, but yeah. And now it got, how it, I suppose for me, as a player, probably about you, how old are you now?
27.
Same age. That was when I first started thinking about the psychology of the game from a performance point of view, but also from a mental health point of view, because I knew that it was more about more than just goal setting or visualization. They were important things, but I knew that the demands of the game were such that a lot of behaviors that I was seeing, probably exhibiting myself, were not ideal. And so I knew that there was something to be done here in this area. So that was nearly 30 years ago now. But so lots of change. But that's what gave me the initial stimulus and impetus to try and find out more about this. That became a psychology degree. I went into coaching and things, but then that became a master's, and then that became the charter status, and hence why I'm here now.
Yeah, is that like everything? Examples? No. I feel like a person can also be like, I don't know, in terms of depression or something, and sometimes probably doesn't even notice because he has no time to reflect on what's going on. That's mm-hmm. what I said before. And I believe that's also a very good thing to have in mind when you have special, the known people, you mentioned Tyson Fury and others, like speaking about it.
Yeah.
Other people will see it and will at least have a time to think about themselves. Wait a minute, is this happening to me as well?
Yeah.
And they start realizing that could be potentially a problem. And then if they recognize the problem, is the first step, no, to solve it.
Exactly. And I think that's also comes back to the idea of them normalizing it, is the sense that a lot of what we experience are within the normal realms of life. So a lot of life challenges are just part of life, and we have to, you know, a period of stress does not necessarily mean that you've got a mental health issue. You're experiencing a period of stress. But to your point, if you ignore that over a longer period of time, that can become a problem. But if you are aware, like you say, if you're reflecting and you're aware of, a drop in your mood or, a level of stress, or the water level is rising, then you can take extra steps to do something about it. So that's why it's important to keep talking about it, to reflect on it every now and again. But at the same time, it's also important to get the message out that life is tough. A career in football is tough. A career at the highest level is tough. It's not easy. It's not handed on a plate to you. You have to go out and work for it. You know that better than anyone. And there will be challenges along the way, but it's important not to dismiss it as was in the past. In this idea, this word I used to hate was mental toughness. It's kind of, what is mental toughness? Is somebody who's given birth to children, is that mental toughness? Because that's more tougher than I would ever want to do. But so there's different contexts for people's abilities to deal with challenges. But I think in general, people just have to accept that, life is tough, but sometimes you can deal with it yourself. Other times you might need some to open up and get some extra help.
And everybody has problems, no? When you are young, you want to achieve something, you have your dreams. Could be being a professional footballer or anything else, but you're going to have many, many obstacles in your way. Either if it's the club you are, you're not playing, you want to be playing, you need to change. So stress is also involved in those early stages of your career, of your life. Either if it's you are studying to become a doctor or something, that you need to be really good and you need to go through the exams and and you need to cope with that pressure to be able to succeed. But I think again, having one thought at a time, think like I have to do this now, and then tomorrow I have another thing to do, but let's worry about today. And I think that's important. One step at a time, one challenge at a time. Obviously, having in mind the big pictures always help, but I think that's a good advice.
There is, each individual player is probably different. You know, I know where a player comes from is really important as well. And we're now a global game. For the last 10 years, I've been doing this. Most of the environments that I've worked in have players from all around the world. So you've got different cultures, different backgrounds, different ways, different belief systems. So these all impact on a player's psychology, a player, his identity, how he sees himself. I know Diogo is from a good background. He has strong values and ethics. I know that for a fact. And therefore, there are lots of challenges and issues that probably, you know, that can be dealt with within a family, within people that you know from away from the club. But when it comes to the specific support that we offer, hopefully, in the club, it's a little bit more immediate. We're here, there. We're here around the players at most days. And I think they know that whether it's myself or the head doctor or the physios or their teammates, there are people that they can talk to and confide in and trust to keep that within that sort of circle of trust, if you like, or the, you know, within this environment. I think that's really important. It certainly wasn't there for me as a player. That was, you know, just the facts. But now at the level that Diogo's at, in the top of the game, then he is a valuable player. You know, you might say commodity. That would be harsh. Human being. But it's our job to try and help him stay at the top of his game. I think that's what we all do within this environment. That's not just the medical department, it's everybody. It's what we're trying to do as a football club.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's very important, availability. Because maybe one day you are willing to speak to someone, and imagine if that person is not here that day, and the day after he comes and is there, maybe you're there and he's not confident anymore to go and talk. It's too late. And I think being available, like all the people that you just mentioned, but especially you, all the time in the building, give us that. So we know that if something happens, you know that you're going to be there and be ready to listen, which is everything that a player can ask for.
If I'm honest, I actually think we are well down the road for helping people realize that to have stress in a life or to have a challenge or problem that is impacting them emotionally, psychologically, it's fine to speak up and to seek help. I think that's, compared to where we've been in previous years, we're well down the road of doing well with that. The fact that we've got a World Mental Health Day, you know, how many years is this now? 4 or 5 years it must be. So I don't think we should be complacent and think that that's it. Now we don't need to talk about it anymore, or that we, you know, it's all fine. I think I just read some statistics that in this country alone, there's 2 million people on the waiting list to seek help with the NHS. So if you expand that out globally, that's a lot. I know COVID was a massive catalyst for mental health challenges and issues for some specific reasons. So I think it's important that we keep the conversation going. It's important that people realise that life's tough, but there are ways to deal with it, especially if you need to get some support. And I think it's important for us to keep on the message in people's minds. So that's why Mental Health Awareness Day is a good thing. And it's a good thing that we, as a club, are recognising that as well.
Awareness of what's going on, and having conversations like these, people that, fortunately, after they go through a tough period, they are able to come and talk. The more people know about it, the more people will recognize, and the more people then will try to sort their problems speaking to someone. So one step at a time, but I feel like you're saying we are much better, but we can keep growing.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. And remember, if you are affected by any of the issues that were raised, please visit mentalhealth.org.uk for further advice.